A very good morning to all those joining us online and in person for the Sunday service of Free Community Church. If you're watching us on YouTube, please leave us a comment. Tell us where you're watching from. We'd love to hear your comments. Let us now prepare our hearts for a time of worship. Please stand as you're willing and able to respond to the call to worship. Drawn by God's presence. Inspired by God's Spirit.
We worship.
Empowered by God's grace.
We live.
Opened by God's love.
We share.
We are community.
Embraced by the mystery of God's love for all creation.
We are a community that looks for the light of Christ,
the light that shines in every time, every place, and every life.
Within this community, we foster connections and experiences that bring meaning to life and help us face the issues of the day. Together, we strive to live with loving hearts, open minds, and hands extended to all. Welcome home.
Amen.
Let us now join our hearts and voices together for a time of worship. Current regulations do not allow us to sing if you're here in person. However, we do invite you to close your eyes, hum along, lift up your hands if it's helpful to you. Use the time well to allow God to minister to your heart through the music. And if you're at home, sing joyfully.
As we gather for the very first time, after a very long time, let us allow and invite God into this space, allowing the Holy Spirit to move among us, to touch us, to speak to us in its own precious way.
As we gather, may your Spirit walk within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Let's sing it again.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Lord, we come with a heart of gratitude, grateful for life, for health. Through this epidemic, you have taught us so much during the year to love differently, to appreciate, and also form new ways to connect with others. Today, we offer our hearts to you. Thank you.
Lord, blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
I quote from a prayer from the Office of the Mufti, which was read last Friday in all mosques in Singapore. When faced with evil and enmity, we respond with kindness. To the extent that a foe can become a friend, if we are to counter hatred with hatred, the situation will surely worsen. And our close relationships we have built before will crumble. An act of an individual does not represent a group. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, as your children, we need community. We want to be one. One with you, close and safe, full of trust in you, feeling your calming, supporting, and encouraging presence right next to us. One with the people we live with, in our families, our friendships, in workplaces and the community, one people, regardless of race, religion, wealth, orientation, gender, or ability. One with our fellow believers in the church as we come together to worship, to listen, to support, and to be supported, sometimes through a friendly challenge. Often, we see ourselves as Zacchaeus, the tax collector, despised and ignored, unseen and looked down upon, held back from joining community because of inhuman rules, prejudice, ignorance, or perceived barriers. But Lord, if we are honest with ourselves, and with you, it's just as often that we find ourselves on the side of those that exclude others because they are not open enough, not progressive enough, not as woke as us. Jesus, please help us to see our own separating patterns as well as those of others. Fill us with your loving spirit, the spirit that helps us to welcome and include the other, so they and we can learn that we are one. Help us belong, Lord. Amen.
Have our hearts, O Lord. Have it all and expand our hearts. Expand our hearts and minds to be wider, to draw our own circles wider, to welcome all in. Lord, shift us into the places where it's uncomfortable for us and welcome, help us to welcome all of your creation, all of your children in. And with this next song, we worship. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. We'll stand side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. We'll stand side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle wide. Draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone. Standing side by side. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. Draw the circle. Draw the circle wide. No one stands alone. We'll stand side by side. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Come, draw the circle, draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. No one stands alone, we'll stand side by side. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide. Draw the circle, draw the circle wide.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today. And I want to bid those online good morning or good afternoon if you're joining us later in the day or several days after the live stream. And good morning to all of you who are present here. Welcome home. Before we start, we have been using Menti as a tool to help us get more engaged with the sermon. And today's mentee code is 3650762. You can log in on your phones. This is a very odd thing that we encourage you to do, to take out your mobile devices and log into menti.com and key in and enter into the enter the mentee code and join the meeting. And you can, you know, respond to the questions I have later on. But first, I want to open in prayer. God, as we come together, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Last year, when we included Draw the Circle Wide in our worship set, we received feedback that from some folks, they appreciated the song, but felt that it wasn't really appropriate for worship. I really appreciated that feedback, because it helped me think about what we have been taught And what we are teaching about worship, about God, about being Christian. Just because a song doesn't mention God explicitly doesn't mean it isn't worshipful or it isn't a worship song. And by the way, Draw the Circle Wide isn't a secular song. I first encountered it with Reverend Yap when Reverend Yap and I went to Jakarta Theological Seminary in November 2012 for their LGBT week. The students there actually sang it as part of the worship service, and it left a deep impression on me. Draw the Circle Wide is included in a few hymnals, in the hymnal of the Anglican Church of Canada and even the United Methodist Church. So I think that we need to be clear, just because something doesn't mention God explicitly doesn't make it secular or God is absent from it. I remember in 2010, Dr. Bill McKinney,
this is much better. So I take off the, sorry, sometimes this work and sometimes it isn't, and I think they couldn't hear very well online. So in 2010, when I was in seminary, the retiring president of Pacific School of Religion, which is where I attended, Dr. Bill McKinney, actually came to Singapore on his retirement trip with his wife. And we took the opportunity to invite him to preach, because it's rare that you have a seminary president passing through Singapore and rare to have a guest, right? And I was told that after his sermon, someone approached him and commented, "That was a nice sermon, but you didn't talk about Jesus." You see, sometimes we get so... sometimes we get so literal that we see Jesus, we fail to see Jesus when Jesus is right in front of us. We fail to see God unless there's a huge label that explicitly says God. Do you remember instances in the Bible that people failed to see God when God was there all along? I see some people are very quick to answer, right? Emmaus pops up. Were there instances that people failed to see God when God was right in front of them? There were several instances. And just take a while to think about it and keen what you think. No mention of God in Esther. Wow, this one's very good. Yes, in the book of Esther, God is not mentioned at all. But is God absent from that book? Think about it. The 40 years in the desert, the Israelites failed to see God very often, right? The crucifixion. And it's difficult to see God in the midst of our suffering. Thank you for all your answers. I would think that one of the occasions, you know, other than the road to Emmaus, right, when Jesus was walking beside them and they didn't even recognize Jesus, Mary at the tomb also did not recognize Jesus when Jesus was right in front of her. They were so narrowly focused and could not imagine Jesus beyond how they used to see him. But they snapped to recognition once Jesus did something they could connect with him. For Mary, it was when Jesus called her name. For the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it was when Jesus broke bread with them. I want to ask you, right? Were there occasions in your life that you failed to see God when God was there all along? Were there occasions in your life when you failed to see God, when God was there all along? Not easy question to answer. And I think to answer this question requires time, space, and for us to reflect. act as well. Perhaps at first you didn't see God there, and it is journeying through and getting through that event, that occasion, and when you look back and you go, aha, there God was. Maybe it was like the story, the very popular story about Jesus walking on a beach with someone, right? And there was two sets of footprints. And then, you know, when they, during the occasion when someone suffers or struggles, and then suddenly there was just one set of footprints. And then we imagine that Jesus wasn't there during that time, and the story ends by saying that, oh, there was a time that Jesus was carrying us. Yes, sometimes we don't see it until when we look back and reflect. So some of the occasions, some of you have replied, being alone, down and weary, that we fail to see God, right? But God was still there. Yes, plenty. When I lost my job, and eventually God provided me another job. Mundane moments in our lives. Sometimes we only see God when something dramatic happens, but we fail to recognize God in the ordinary things. When I got overly hung up over what I felt as suffering, got fired thrice. Well, that must be very trying, right? And you wonder, where are you, God? Despite hardships and challenges, there are always good people and helpers along the way. The lamplights that lit the way, even if they could not walk the journey for me. Marrying a non-Christian and later realizing that his behavior was more in tune with God than many professed Christians. When I left my previous job because my CEO had no integrity. Disappointments, loss, promises not coming through. And sometimes it is just like the worship song we sing, right? In your time, in God's time. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing all this. And I hope that all of you, whether you've answered the questions or not, reflect on your life and to see, you know, where are the parts that I think that you think God wasn't present? And perhaps wrestle with why. And perhaps notice, perhaps God was there all along. You see, we only see the big picture when we zoom out. When we look at a painting, we don't put our nose right at the painting because we cannot appreciate the whole picture. We have to step away from the painting so that we can appreciate it in its totality. How the colors and the strokes and the textures of the painting create emotions in us. What was the artist trying to express? We cannot see it when we zoom in. When we zoom in, it's just like looking at a few pixels on your computer screen or your TV screen. It's when we zoom out that we appreciate the whole picture. And sometimes, as I said earlier, it is not distance, but rather time that will help us appreciate the big picture. Sometimes we encounter unpleasant or bad experiences that cause us suffering, hurt, or harm. And it is through time that we see our growth through the hurt and the pain. So, I want to ask you, what do you think connects all these small pixels, these characters in the Bible, Zacchaeus, Ruth, the Roman centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Samaritan woman by the well, Cornelius, the Magi. What do you think connects these characters in the Bible? What's their relationship somehow? Think about it. Zacchaeus from Luke 19, Ruth from the book of Ruth, the Roman centurion from Matthew chapter 8 or Luke chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman from Mark chapter 7 or Matthew chapter 15, the Ethiopian eunuch from Acts chapter 8, the Samaritan woman by the well from John chapter 4, the Magi who visited Christ when Christ was an infant in Matthew chapter 2. What do they have in common? The Gentiles, regarded as deviant or different. They're all Gentiles who seek God. Outsiders of the in the Jewish community, foreigners. Most of them were foreigners, treated as outsiders in the community they lived in, willing to search. They first believed before they saw, searching. Curiously, wanting something more, seeking meaning and promises. Thank you for all your answers. What they have in common, as a lot of you pointed out, was that they were considered the other. The other in various degrees, some because of their race or ethnicity, some because of the work they engage in, like Zacchaeus, right? He was a tax collector. And some because of social cultural norms of the time. Ruth, the great-grandmother of King David, and an ancestor of Jesus, was a Moabite. And in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3, it is very clear. No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of their descendants shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. So David isn't supposed to be part of the assembly, if this is supposed to be right. But yet, she was lifted up. And a whole book in the Bible is in honor, dedicated to her, to her story. The Roman centurion who approached Jesus to heal his pious, and Cornelius, were soldiers of the empire that was occupying Judea. To put it in today's context, they are like the Israeli soldiers who are on occupied Palestinian territory today. They were the enemies. They were not just soldiers of the enemies, they're officers in the army that occupy where they live. They were the conquerors. Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. We like to think that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. When I was writing this sermon and I read, he was not just the tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. Wow. Not just a simple tax collector, but the chief. And to put it in today's context, we might imagine them to be the 1% who exploit the poor for their benefit. The people who squeeze and earn millions and millions of dollars and at the same time are unwilling to pay a living wage to those in their employment or those in their companies. That's Zacchaeus today. Then we have the Syrophoenician woman who was a Gentile, an outsider, someone outside the circle. And Jesus even rebuffs her request to heal her daughter and said, "Let the children of the household satisfy themselves at the table first. It is not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." But her reply was one that even the dogs eat the scraps off the table. And Jesus tells her, your faith has healed your daughter. And the Ethiopian eunuch wasn't just an outsider because of his nationality or his ethnicity. He was also an outsider because of his sexual identity. The same chapter in Deuteronomy says that no one whose external reproductive organs that are changed shall be allowed into the Israelite community. Yet, as Jack Rogers, the moderator of the 213th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in the USA, said, and he is the author of the book Jesus, the Bible, and Homosexuality, says, the fact that the first convert to Christianity, the first Gentile convert to Christianity, is a sexual minority from and a different race, ethnicity, and nationality together, caused Christians to be radically inclusive and welcoming. Some people would say that the Bible never talked about inclusivity. That's what some people I have come across, that the Bible has not talked about inclusivity. Of course. Thank you. Let me get back on track. Of course, the Bible doesn't talk specifically about inclusivity because that word didn't exist at that point in time. They didn't coin a word for it. But the idea, the concept of inclusivity has always been there. If we read the Bible without looking at the big picture, without zooming out, then we will think that the circle is not very big. It would exclude all the people who are considered other. The Gentiles, the Samaritan woman, Ruth, all these people will not be included because the Bible says so. But when we zoom out and look at the big picture, we realize the circle is a lot bigger than we can imagine. The good news, the gospel, is that the circle of God's love is wider than we can imagine. God's love is inclusive beyond our wildest imagination. Without Ruth, one of the four women mentioned in Jesus' genealogy in Matthew, we would not have Jesus. The good news, the gospel, is inclusive from the very beginning. It includes even those people we consider enemies. We need to stop othering and seeing just us and them, but recognize we are all one. The good news transcends the lines that we keep on drawing. Even our different beliefs do not separate us. Imagine the Magi. They're really priests from another religion, you know. They were priests. They were Zoroastrian priests, the wise men. Yet, they are included in the grand story of God's love. They didn't convert to Christianity or Judaism. They came, pay homage to Jesus, and they returned home, still as faithful Zoroastrians. Think about that. Identity is really important to us because it gives us a sense of belonging. And it gives, even gives us gives our lives meaning. And that is perhaps why some people are willing to give up their lives defending some aspect of their identity. The thing is, people become afraid or feel threatened when they encounter difference because they're actually insecure about their identity. Maybe they are afraid of encountering someone different and that may change them or make them feel inferior, less than. But people who are secure about themselves do not feel afraid or threatened. When I engage in interfaith work, I engage it very secure in my identity as Christian. When I talk to heterosexual people, I feel very secure engaging with them as a gay man. I'm not afraid that someone will convert me. One way to overcome our fear of the other is to get to know them. listen to their stories. And then we'll realize, yes, we have many differences, but we also share a lot in common. Getting to know someone who is different does not change us in the way that we think, but in a way that we do not expect. It helps us let go of some of the wrong ideas and prejudices. And actually, in the process, we learn a whole lot more about ourselves. That said, there's one identity I think we all need to be anchored in and absolutely secured in so that we can live out our fullest selves. And what do you think that identity is? Human? While you're typing in your answers, I'll talk about the early Israelites and the parts of the Bible that is so concerned with identity. And we read it in Leviticus, right? The Lord declared to them, "You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live, and you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practices." The early Israelites were struggling to establish an identity that was different from the Egyptians and the Canaanites. Identity is not necessarily a bad thing. It is what gives us a sense of community and belonging. The problem is when our sense of identity starts to focus on our differences and seeing people as the other and a threat to us, and we begin to dehumanize them, somehow seeing them as less than, less worthy than us. That is where the problem begins to start. When we dehumanize people, it makes it easier for us to stop empathizing with them, to stop loving them, and easier for us to harm them without feeling remorse. That's how ordinary people end up committing atrocities, especially in the times of war. The truth is, when we other people, we dehumanize them and we violate the divine image of God that is residing in all of us. Because all of us are created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. So returning to this question, and I can see that a lot of you gave the answer. Child of God. We are made in God's image. That is the one identity that we need to be anchored in. But this identity is not exclusive. All humans are made in the image of God. We have that sacredness within. If I am made in the image of God, then so are you. So are they. This identity that we should be anchored in, because this is what we all share in common. This is the starting point. And if we are secure in that, then we can begin to learn to love the other and to stop seeing the other as different, but becoming one of us. It is easy to see extremists today as the ones who other people, right? But like what Jörg said just now in his prayer, we do that too. We do that when we are not secure about ourselves. We do that when we fear. And when we're not secure, we would waver. We need to grow deeper in anchoring ourselves in this identity that we are a child of God, we are beloved. Then we begin to find ourselves recognizing that other people are also beloved children of God. Because if we continue the trajectory today, looking at what's happening around the world will become more and more polarized. We will never see eye to eye with people who have different opinions or beliefs from us. We will continue to other them instead of drawing the circle wider to see them as part of us. If we continue to see our Muslim siblings as other, then we have more and more people radicalized and willing to take extreme actions, like the 16-year-old Christian who made plans to attack two mosques. We cannot wash our hands. We cannot say that, no, that's an oddity, that's an exception, because it is not. Because all this comes from what we have been taught all this while. How does this extremist ideas take root, except when we have created the ground to be fertile for these extremist ideas? Because for many of us, when we are growing up in churches, we've been taught to view people of other faiths as suspect, as the other, and even as demonized. And in that process, we dehumanize them and see them as less than human, less deserving of love, less deserving of even life. The way to break the cycle, the way forward, is to return to Jesus' command to love one another, to see that we are all created in the image of God and deserving of love. Even those who wronged us, even those who have harmed us, if we want to imitate Christ, are we able to say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Are we able to disagree with one another, yet respect and love one another? Because we are called not to only love those who share our beliefs, or those who share our values, or those who agree with us. We are called to love one another without condition. We can ask, who is my neighbor? Only those within these four walls of the church? Jesus made it very clear, no. The answer to that question, Jesus' answer was telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. Hello, what did they think about Samaritans at that time? The Jews thought they were enemies. The Jews thought they were worshipping God wrongly. They were a totally different sect. They drew a line between them. That story teaches us to love without drawing these lines, to love and see everyone as our neighbor. That is not to say that we condone behaviors that harm us or harm other people. We call out such behaviors and actions, but we don't conflate the person with the action. I was conducting a workshop on bullying and how to deal with bullying of LGBTQ students. And I said this, we cannot just pay attention to the one who was bullied. We must also pay attention to the bully. Not to punish the bully, but to identify why. What led to this person's, you know, this student's behavior? And I just did it, huh? We need to start separating the behavior from the person. This student bullied another student. But it will be helpful for us to stop labeling this student as a bully. Because by labeling this person, we are again othering. And I have to constantly check myself to stop labeling people. A person might hold bigoted views, but I want to go, you know, I want to stop calling that person a bigot. Because by doing so, I'm continuing to draw that line that separates us. But to see this person as a human being, but holds bigoted views. A person who has done wrong is still deserving of love. And it is difficult, and I still struggle. I struggle to love those who continue to vilify LGBTQ people and those who continue to seek to harm us. I struggle to love those who exploit others in their pursuit of material wealth. I struggle to love the former President Trump for all the things he has done. I struggle. But I need to learn to draw the circle wide and recognize that God loves everyone, including the former President Trump. This is what first realize everyone is equal means. Everyone, no exceptions. Not only the people who are progressive, but also those who are conservative. Not only those who are Christian, but also the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Hindus, the Taoists, the Zoroastrians, the people of other faiths, and people who profess no religion. Yes, and even the Satanists. Not only people who are LGBTQ+ and our allies, but people who identify as ex-gay or straight or anyone on the spectrum. So when we say, first realize everyone's equal, regardless of religion, race, ethnicity, nationality, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, physical ability, age, mental health status, we are saying all are beloved by God. This is our theological position. All individuals are individuals of sacred worth created in God's image. This is FCC's position. That includes everyone. Period. There will be people who say, oh, we only include people when they agree with us or behave in a certain way or convert to our way of thinking or share our beliefs. And some might say, we'll include people when they change or repent of their actions. But I don't think so. I think that we are called to love, and it's dependent on only one point, that they are our neighbor. Not whether they agree with us or share the same values as us. I find the story of Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus particularly enlightening. And I want to read it to you. And as I read it to you, imagine that scene. It's quite a funny scene, actually. And put yourself into the story, whether you think you are Zacchaeus or you're Jesus or you're one of the bystanders. And I want to ask you after that, what's your reaction there? What surprised you? So he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. Yeah, physical ability here. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. What stood out for you in this passage? What surprised you? You know, picture the image, you know, of Jesus entering the town, and a great crowd trying to rush, you know, to welcome him, talk to him. And then Zacchaeus realizing, you know, I'm so short, I'm not going to see anything. And I'm going and decide to run ahead and climb a tree ahead. What stood out for you in this passage? What surprised you? What maybe, you know, you're puzzled, like, huh? Doesn't make sense. Or something that, you know, like what I said, chief tax collector. I didn't realize that until I went back to the passage, right? Getting singled out. So Jesus singled out Zacchaeus. That Zacchaeus wasn't surprised Jesus wanted to have a meal with him. Well, I'm not so sure about that because the text doesn't describe Zacchaeus' feeling, right? It said very matter of fact, Zacchaeus said yes, you know, right? That when he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. The text, the rich collector suddenly wanted to give his wealth away. Well, I'm not so sure about that too. He could have wanted to do that way before meeting Jesus. That's an assumption that we make on the story, right? Because it's not spoken. So we need to be very careful about what we project into the story. Because it may be true that only after meeting Jesus, he wanted to give half of his wealth away. But the alternative also can be true, that he had thought about giving his wealth away for a very long time. But there wasn't a situation, or there wasn't someone that he can declare to, you know what, I'm committed to take this action. He probably had the most fancy house in town with the best food, but why didn't he have a servant to help him? I don't think he mentioned anything about servant, right? He was happy to welcome Jesus into his house. Substitute Zacchaeus with Trump. Exactly. I didn't realize that Jesus mentioned Zacchaeus was a son of man, i.e. a child of God. Well, it says son of Abraham. The son of man is Jesus referring to himself. Why was he lost? Jesus prioritized eating with the enemy, knowing that it was a moment of transformation. Jesus said he must stay at Zacchaeus' house. Christ's love for all and not discriminating and showing by example what he expects of us. Zacchaeus' repentance. Zacchaeus appeared to have wanted to prove that he was worthy of Jesus' presence and love by offering to give away his wealth. I'm not so sure about that because it is we are projecting into Zacchaeus' heart at the moment. Was he really repentant? Or was he just doing this for show, right? If you're $1 billion, giving half away, you still have $500 million. Quite a lot to live by, huh? That Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus in the first place. Many interesting points that struck, right? And then from a very simple story from this passage. What struck me was that Jesus tells Zacchaeus that he's going to stay at his house that day even before Zacchaeus repents or declares his repentance. Even before Zacchaeus invites Jesus to stay. Zacchaeus never invited Jesus to come and stay with him. Jesus said, I'm going to stay with you. It's important. Right? I wonder if Zacchaeus even imagined that Jesus wanted to talk to him, much less stay at his house, knowing what he has done in his life. Can you imagine that? That your life, you know, I think Zacchaeus have reflected on his life and what he has done. And in his mind, he doesn't even imagine that Jesus would want to talk to him or much less stay with him because everyone sees him as an outcast, a sinner, right? That's the reaction from the crowd. Look, he's going to stay with he's going to be a guest of the sinner. But so he was loved before change. The change wasn't the reason why he's loved. He was loved first. And through this love, transformation happens. Like Zacchaeus, Jesus' self-invitation into his home is an invitation for us to reflect on our behaviors and embark on the journey of repentance and change so we grow to be more Christ-like. It's not a transaction. We don't change because that's how we earn God's love. We are loved, therefore we examine our actions and we try and definitely fail often to live out the best. We work through our transformation and growth because we're anchored in that love. That has always what we have been trying to teach here at FCC in so many different ways. It is not a transaction. You are loved and know that. No conditions. But when you are loved, then something happens to you as you are secure in your identity. As you feel love, you're able to give love. That is the kind of transmission we talk about. So this journey of change, for some people, they might feel that they need to repent of their same-sex attraction. But for us at FCC, we believe that sexual orientation is not something to repent of. We believe that same-sex and transgender relationships lived out in accordance with the love commandment of Jesus are consistent with Christian faith and teachings. We need to constantly re-examine what that means for us, how that translates. That's the journey for all of us. Anchor yourself in that love, in that identity that you are a beloved child of God. And that will not change. And then from there, it is an inward change of your heart. Not an outward change to meet the check boxes, to look good in front of people, to give away half your wealth and declare to the world, see, I gave half away of my wealth away. No. It comes from the inward transformation and not because of anything else. So when we sing Draw the Circle Wide, when we include more and more people, we are emulating Jesus in some way. Just like Jesus said to Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. You are included, not excluded. We draw the circle wide because this is the good news. This is the gospel. And this is how the kingdom of God looks like. Amen.
Good morning, Church. We have now come to another segment of today's service, where we will partake the Holy Communion as instituted by Christ when He was on earth. For those who are worshipping with us at home, this is a great time for you to actually prepare the elements of the communion, the bread which symbolizes Christ's body, and the fruit of the vine which symbolizes His blood. For those of you on site, please wait and we will distribute the elements accordingly. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we are not physically together. The table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. When Jesus sat at tables and broke bread with the tax collectors, lawyers, rich elites, and poor peasants, He proclaimed that God's radical love and abiding presence knows bounds. Through these occasions of sharing food, every person experienced God and shared in God's kingdom.
a kingdom where all are welcome, all are worthy, and all are invited.
A kingdom where lives are transformed and empowered, and the fruits of God's gentle justice bloom throughout creation.
All people are invited to share in this sacred meal of celebration and be strengthened by the presence of God in this place.
Remember that Jesus fed 5,000 hungry people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish.
At this miraculous meal, there was such an abundance that everyone ate until they were full, and there were even 12 baskets of food left over.
Holy God, we celebrate your abundant care and solidarity revealed in this meal.
We remember that while sharing a meal with Pharisees, Jesus welcomed a woman viewed as an outsider. As the woman anointed his feet with oil, Jesus declared her dignity before everyone at the meal.
Holy God, we celebrate your gracious inclusiveness revealed in this meal.
At these meals, Jesus and all his disciples resisted the division, injustice and violence of society.
They lived out instead the kingdom of God, a place of love, justice and mutuality.
But we also recognize that not all people liked Jesus' ministry. For some people, it was scandalous.
They said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.
When his arrest seemed near, Jesus ate a meal in the upper room with his disciples. As he had done so many times before, he took bread and after having given thanks to you, Holy God, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, this time saying, do this to remember me. After the meal, he shared the wine and gave thanks, saying, I will not drink from this cup again until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God. Will the stewards please come forward to help distribute the elements? Those of us who are on site, please hang on to the elements until we are able to partake it together as one body in Christ. After the meal, He shared the wine, gave thanks and said, I will not drink from this cup again until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God. Jesus was then unjustly killed by the systems of domination of his day. To some of his frightened disciples, it seemed that the bread symbolized his broken body and the wine his blood. The kingdom of God persisted and persists today
through the many people who seek to be your resurrection community. Holy God, in the sharing of this bread and wine, we joyfully celebrate the hope-inspiring ministry and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Gracious God, may this meal be for us an Emmaus meal, where we encounter your presence in the sharing of this food, as the disciples did at their meal at Emmaus.
May the sharing of this food be a taste of your kingdom, Holy God, so we may be strengthened to be your joyful and hopeful disciples.
And may we share in your kingdom of love, justice, and mutuality with those around us. Amen. So welcome again to the Sunday service of Free Community Church, where we are an inclusive church and inclusiveness is baked into our name, where FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. As Pastor Miak has so eloquently shared, we welcome you, regardless of your theological background, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, economic status, or any other labels the world puts on you. To our members and those who worship with us regularly, welcome home. And to those who are joining us for the first time, welcome home. My name is David, and I'm the service leader for today. We will now worship God with our giving. So there are two ways you can give. The first way is through PayNow, and the QR codes are on the screen. One of them is for the general fund, which mainly goes towards our salaries and our staff. The other is for the building fund, which goes towards the mortgage that we pay on this facility. The credit card option is not available this week, so we only have PayNow. But for those of you who are on site and you wish to give in cash, please raise your hand and the stewards will come to you. And now please join me as we pray for the offering. Dear God, you have given us so much. You've given us life, the very air that we breathe. You've given us your Son, who died for us, showing us just how much you love us. And you've given us your Spirit, who dwells in our hearts, gently speaking to us, reminding us that we're your beloved children. So here we now give back to you a small portion of what you've entrusted to us. Please bless each heart that gives joyfully, and bless this offering. Help us to use it to extend your love and grace to all those out there, who, especially those who are on the margins. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I invite the stewards to come forward, collect the offering, while the stewards are going around, we do have some announcements. So if you're new to FCC, so maybe you've been here a few weeks or a few months, we do have a newcomers meeting, which happens every month. It's actually today. But today is only for those who've signed up. So if you did sign up, it will be happening right after the service in the rooms at the back. If you did not sign up, but you want to be in the newcomers meeting, please join us on the last Sunday of next month. And you can sign up by emailing info@freecomchurch.org. Now, if this is your first time with us, please leave your details at fcc.la/fccwelcome. We'd love to know that you came. We would like to get in touch with you, and our pastors will be in touch to find out how we can better serve you. For the next 2 weeks, today and next Sunday, we're going to be collecting items for the Tea Shelter. The Tea Shelter is an organization that supports transgendered people who for some reason need to be in the shelter. So you can donate used appliances, clothing, bags, and so forth, but please ensure they're in good working condition with no holes, tears, and please do not donate any underwear. If you have any questions, WhatsApp Kin at the number stated here. As always, we have pastoral support available for those who need it. Just reach out to us at the email address info@freecomchurch.org. And every Wednesday, we continue to have our prayer meeting online at fcc.la/fccpraise from 8 to 8:30 p.m. We invite you to also stay connected with us to get announcements and bulletins. You can do that through WhatsApp. We have an Instagram account. We have a Facebook account, YouTube account. Please like and subscribe. And now we also have Telegram, because I know a lot of people are moving away from WhatsApp. So if you would like to be part of the Telegram list, there's a QR code, or you can search for FCC Broadcast in Telegram. Now, every Sunday we produce the service both in person and online, and it's actually a lot of additional work. So we do need volunteers to help. If this is something you feel God's calling you to, you can email info@freecomchurch for a behind-the-scenes tour. No obligation, just to find out whether it would be a good fit for you. Okay, something special coming up is Chinese New Year. And we do know that there are some people in our community who may not have family in Singapore. Maybe they don't have anyone to celebrate with. So we're putting out an invitation. If that is you, if you do not have family to celebrate with, we would like to be your family. So we're going to invite you to maybe groups of eight, which could gather in homes. And if that's something you're interested in, then please email by the 7th of Feb for a Chinese New Year celebration with us. And lastly, if we'd love to hear your feedback, both positive and negative. Positive, it encourages us. Negative, it helps us improve. So actually, please do leave us some feedback. We're not just saying this. We actually really do want your feedback. And you can leave it at the form right there. So something exciting this week is we're going to clap. And you might know under your chair, you will see some clappers. Okay, these please don't take these home, but we're just going to use these for this this moment. And so CLAP, C-L-A-P, it stands for Clap for Our Leaders and Pastors. And this is to show appreciation for the various ministries in FCC. So we're going to do this once a month. And this month, we're going to celebrate the children's ministry. So now invite Valerie to come up. Valencia to come up. And wait, don't clap first. We're going to have a little video. Yeah, Valencia, please come on up.
Thank you, David. Okay, hello, everybody. So before we begin, right, I want to try a little something with everybody. So we're going to play a little bit of Simon Says, okay? Very, very fast one. Okay, so Simon Says, touch your nose. Everybody knows how to do. Okay, great. Simon Says, give me a drum roll. Okay, Simon Says, clap your clappers. Okay, now stand up. Okay, very sharp. Nobody stand up here. I don't know if you're doing this at home, but okay, anyway, so now that I've gotten your attention, hello again, everybody. I'm very excited to be here today, if you cannot tell. Because I'm sharing about a group of people that are very dear to my heart and really one of some of my favorite people, and that is the people who are here at the Sunday school. So many of you might be wondering, right, what do we actually do in Sunday school? Because you don't really hear about us and you don't really see us much, right? So next slide, please. So sometimes, like, you really only see us during Christmas service, right? We are like those Christmas jingles that pop up once a year, and then, like, you know, over your head. Yeah, but yes, we do. We do come up for Christmas service, and that is how we contribute to the FCC main service and to all of us, because we want to add life to the congregation. And of course, this year, last year, 2020, we were not able to do so because of restrictions. So we had our own little party, and we invited the kids, you know, to take part in competitions, such as building their own Christmas trees with their treats provided. And we also did a little gift exchange. Next slide, please. Okay, and then during the COVID circuit breaker, you know, while we are attending service online, we continued to engage with the children online as well. So we actually played games with them. We tried lessons with them. That didn't really work out well, so we continued with the games. And then we found out that many of them are very, very talented. Like, look at the Tweety Bird there. You know, I will never be able to draw that in my life. But well done, someone could. Yeah, and we even was able to engage our volunteer who was in Australia during that time, and Harrison joined us to help facilitate the sessions. Okay, next. Previous slide. And if you do remember, we also did the video for worship to incorporate the action songs. And that was another way that we tried to be inclusive and to teach our children how to do so as well from a very young age. Now, next slide. So, of course, the name Sunday School suggests that you are here to learn, but it is not all boring. You're not just here to memorize Bible stories, learn hymns, memorize verses, you know, and become a theologian when you leave. Okay, what we do here is really to try and teach them something that's valuable, right? So in 2020, we started them on the Fruit of the Spirit series, and it's to teach them how is this relevant to all these Bible stories that you know about. We created slides, you know, asked them questions about their lives, like, oh, what has changed during COVID? How do you incorporate all these values that you have learned? And then we also have memory verses, and we try to make it as fun as possible for them to remember. And we actually started New Year resolutions on what they want to see this year. Now, why do we do all this at the Sunday school? Okay, it is not a convenient childcare center for the parents to park their kids, okay? Even though I'm sure they are very delighted to be able to concentrate fully in the service. Okay, but we really do this because of one main reason, and that is to build a relationship for these children with God. So next slide, please. We want to understand the fundamental question of what does it mean to be a Christian? I don't know how many of us are second or third generation Christians, and we used to go to Sunday school or church with our parents, and we don't really understand why we're there. We're just, okay, we're here, we have to learn all these stories, but we never develop that personal relationship with God. And here at the FCC Sunday School, that's what we're trying to do. We want them to get acquainted with Jesus, to get acquainted with God, to know what are key events in the Bible and why it all matters in the grand scheme of things. Next slide, please. And the reason is because we are here to journey together as a family. I love this quote, and I first chanced upon it in my primary school staff room. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that is what we're trying to do here at the Sunday School. You know, we're trying to get them started on this journey of discovering and learning to get closer to God. Next slide. Okay, so now I'm going to do some myth-busters, debunking myths, but actually there's only one. Okay. Now, true or false, I need to be a teacher to volunteer in Sunday school. That is not true. I am not a teacher. I am not NIE trained, okay? So, false. Okay, next slide. All you got to do really is have a personal relationship with God. Okay, I think that is very important because whatever we do here is rooted in that identity of love, of giving. Yeah, and the next one is to have a heart of service, because when you're here at the Sunday school, right, you're just giving to the children and just hoping that in this process we will all grow together. And finally, that brings me to my third point, that you should have a spirit of learning, right? Because as we go on this journey to lead the children in Sunday school, you're going to realize that you learn a lot of things that you didn't used to know, or that you thought you know but is wrong. Or it will cause you to reflect upon your own journey with God and how you can be better. Okay, and if you can see a little X-rays at the bottom, it says T's and Z apply, right? That means tea and coffee applies. Please come and have a little chat with us, and then we can talk about why Sunday school is so great and you should join us. Okay? Yeah, next slide. Okay, then I just want to leave this again. Remember, we are here to build a family together. There's that old saying that says, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. Right, and now we have many children with us. And it takes every one of us to really raise these children together to be like great, inclusive, mindful citizens. So let's do this together. And finally, a little word from our dear ones.
Come join us!
Yes, come join us. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. aren't you proud of our Sunday school ministry? I mean, truly, really, really, you know, isn't it amazing? One thing I'm really, really thankful for is really our Sunday school teachers. I mean, their dedication. Valencia is just one of them. She's wonderful, isn't she? But we have other Sunday school teachers among us today. I just want to get Andy to stand up. Hi, Andy! I want to clap for you too. And I know that Harrison is online with us as well, and Gemma and Felicia. Thank you so much. We love you very much, and thank you so much for your ministry, okay? So, this is one thing that we're doing new this year, and it's part of our community life ministry, and it's actually to clap for our different people who serve in our community so dedicatedly, because you don't get to see them, right? You didn't know a lot about Sunday school ministry, but this gives you an opportunity to know. So next month, we have other ministries, other people to share with us, and we just want to really thank God for all that God is doing amongst us. So now, will you receive the benediction? Dear God, first and foremost, you call us beloved. Beloved. And that is such an amazing thing, that we are beloved of God. Not just us, but everyone in this world. Even those who are different from us, those who disagree with us, people that we find difficult to like, God, they are beloved in your eyes. And we thank you that we are all called beloved. And so, God, send us out as your people who will draw the circle wide. No matter where we are in this world, God, help us to truly live out the values of love and what it means to be inclusive, to share your love with all those around us the way you have loved us. So now go. Go in God's love and peace, now and always. Amen.
We now come to the end of our service. So thank you very much for joining us. Have a great Sunday and a great week ahead.